Phone is now open. Let us build our mosaic, and we especially bless that person with the courage to come forward first.
Can I start?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm in a really fortunate open season in my life. I'll be over here with the music stuff. Our kids are almost grown. I've got one in college and one in high school, junior. And she's driving. So it's great. I have mornings to myself for the first time in almost 20 years. And I drink this every morning, coffee. So what I try to do is marry up coffee with some spiritual practice. So I'm either reading the Bible or praying or journaling. So if I've got coffee in my hand, I should be doing one of those three things. Right? So I know I'm going to be doing this, so I may as well link it, right? And it's working. It's really working. So I in the morning I have my prayer list, and you know, I go through those things every morning, and it's the first time in a really long time that I've been able to have a good quiet time. I hear about people having quiet times, I go, "Oh, I can't get that," you know? But God is really meeting me in those places, and so that's working for me. Thanks.
Well, I'll go next. I do not have an open period in my life right now. I am very busy. But I'm standing in front of the liturgical, because I'm going to take you on a quick journey. So I grew up in a charismatic, evangelical world where we were afraid of the liturgical and anything physical. You journaled. Well, that came later. But you read the Bible. You maybe prayed. But all of this was very fearful. Then I came to college. And I met, wait for it, people who are liturgical. I met Catholics. And they're Christians, too. And so I had an opportunity during a rough time in my sophomore year, was really hard for me, of understanding the benefit of the physical. Understanding the benefit of icons, the stations of the cross, and liturgy, the benefit of that. Not that there's anything wrong with the charismatic, because that's still there. The evangelical, the Bible, you need to be in the Bible. But in this busy place right now, for those of you who know the Enneagram, I am an Enneagram 1. My Christianity had been very much in my head. I'm going to leave it there. But during this busy time, where I've met God is in my physical body. If any of you read my little thing on this spreadsheet, I found it in this crazy thing called yoga. In this thing that I was a little bit afraid of called meditation. A breathing meditation that isn't necessarily in your head, it's just in your breath, that getting in touch with my body, whether it's jogging, whether it's doing yoga, whether it's meditating, that's right now where I'm meeting God. All these other things are not bad. I do have some icons in my house, and it helps me to see. Sometimes I need to see to focus. So having my body connected with those other things, my emotion and my head, has been helpful. So you don't have to be just one. And at different periods of time, you may experience God in different places.
Still trying to get my thoughts together, so bear with me. But it's related in the sense of, you know, realizing how all these different streams or practices help you come out of some of the blind spots or limitations of what you started with, even though there can be some very good things about starting as I did in the evangelical stream. You know, as Gary was talking about, you know, what are the characteristics of this, of, you know, being able to start all your prayers with Father God, I just pray that you would be with someone, and memorizing scripture. One of them he didn't mention is the 1-minute testimony. Before there was anyone had heard of venture capitalists, evangelicals invented the elevator pitch. If you have 1 minute for somebody who may go to hell, if you don't tell them about the gospel, then you tell them about what your life was like before you met Jesus and how bad it was, how you came to accept Jesus into your heart, and how your life is now completely better as a result. The difficulty is, what if your life is not completely better all the time? Become a hypocrite. that's what I did. And so the renewal practice that I had to discover, that I guess it goes a little bit more with the liturgical, but it was because we had the distrust of the Catholic form of confession, where you have to go through the priest to get to God. If you're evangelical, then you're going, that's bad, right? So it was better just to live in, shame and fear that somebody might find out who I really am or what I'm like. So having to, or discovering this truth that was right there in the scripture about walking in the light, and if we say we don't have sin, we're liars. But if we confess our sin, not just to God, but to one another, then we find, grace and life. And, sometimes, Gary and I refer to growing up in the same church, and like we're not quite sure how much to reference that, because it can feel sort of like an insider thing. But at the same time, it feels like every now and then we should give glory to the way that God, helped each of us through one another. And he was the one who modeled confession for me, who modeled in the broadest sense of just honesty about where he was with God and what his doubts and failures were, and taught me that I didn't have to pretend all the time that I, was with it, and that I, so sorry if that was a little rambling, but glory to God.
My name's Aaron. I'm a teacher. Teach sixth grade. You guys are saying that, but wait till you hear what I got to say. All right. Before I started teaching, I had a spiritual practice like for the first time ever. What led me to teach with Matt Crocker, who I miss dearly, and Matt and I would do just scripture study. It'd be like once a week. It'd be like, hey. Just go over the word and see what it means to us. Ephesians was super awesome for me. And through that regular practice, I was like, I need to be a teacher. Like, this has to happen. And Matt's like, yeah, I need to be a school counselor. I'm like, yeah. And we did it at the same school for a while, too, which was awesome. And then I started teaching, and I lost a lot of that. Like, it just becomes this all-encompassing job, like, where you just have no space, and you just get overwhelmed all the time. And like, I feel like I've been doing that now. It's been 7 years, and I'm just like, man, I've had literally zero, almost no, fits and starts of practice for 7 years. Until this year, when I'm just like, I need to do something. And so it's just like every morning in my notebook, I write down prayers and just pray about being faithful with this job that he's given me so many years ago. And the crazy thing is that through this practice, I'm like, I need to stop teaching. And I really feel convicted about this through this practice. And so it's kind of crazy that that's how it happens, but this is what I'm working. I'm going to keep praying on it. Like, that decision does not need to be made right now, but like, it's really powerful that through just practice, like, God speaks to you and tells you you know, where he wants you in life.
You might be evangelical.
Hi, everyone. I'll stand in front of the Ignatian spirituality. I know, I love it. But I've been a person that's been very much afflicted by a lot of shoulds in my life, and I think through the Ignatian examine practice, I've been aware of a lot of shoulds about feelings that I come before God with. I come to God with already feeling like I shouldn't have, not even aware of it, but that I'm not fully coming to God with feelings that I feel like I shouldn't have, like deep anger and hurt and disappointment. And so I've been doing that more in my prayer and really like expressing that to God. And that's been really bringing me close to God in this examine of consciousness with my feelings. So yeah, and Lynn and I kind of tried to share that last spring a little bit, but yeah. But that's been really good for me.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jason. I think I grew up in a church that was mostly evangelical in how it taught personal spirituality, and then a little bit charismatic in terms of corporate expressions of spirituality. And I've realized that, like, as I was reflecting on the series, and Gary, thanks, I think the series has been really helpful in providing a common vocabulary and framework to kind of place things into. All the words are familiar, but I think it's been really helpful to reflect on the messy kind of somewhat nature of it. I don't know if there's other things that we haven't talked about, but and so it's been helpful for me to kind of think about what my spirituality is, and as I've evolved as a Christian over time, how that has changed. And I think I realize the growing up in a very evangelical-centric church, how that shaped how I view spirituality, but not being necessarily being how I best connect with God. And so I think realizing like some of the more charismatic and then some of the more, some of the Ignatian through like conversational, through interaction, the corporate and kind of with a group of people or with in one-on-one conversations, how much more I connect with God through those types of interactions. And most recently, I think for Jane and I, we were lucky enough to have her parents here for the first Friday on a Saturday, but one time on a Saturday, prayer and praise night. And so Jane and I were able to go to that, and I think for both of us, it was really helpful. Just in a time of a lot of craziness and transition for us, to have that time to kind of reflect with our community and to pray and to step back. So I think it's been great to be able to have some of those moments, and I think realizing through this series kind of how I best meet God, and looking forward to finding ways to continue to try to make those nights and other ways of kind of having that happen. So.
I'm going to share a little bit of something like that was previously good for me, and then also a little bit about now that I was really glad to hear Gary say at the end of last week, like, I wish there were more collective spiritual practices, group ones in the list. I did not put this in the list. Maybe I will. That's something that like really connected with me, because I think I do so much better when I have a framework to do spiritual practices with a group, and that happened for me for the first significant time in college through InterVarsity, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, is very evangelical, through leading a Bible study and getting to start my own Bible study, and that framework gave me the opportunity to do like a kind of required 15 hours a week of InterVarsity things, which that is a lot. But it taught me that always saying yes to church things or to God things is in itself one of my spiritual practices, because I am not good at doing quiet times regularly alone, but I am good at saying yes to everything somebody asks me to do for church things. And I've gotten to get back into that with CWOW, and I really like that. So that's good. And I think, like, I don't know, don't be afraid to say that, like, just doing things with other people for church, leading a group, going to a group regularly, those are also regular spiritual practices that are really good and really life-giving, and really important for keeping a church alive, too. So all of those, yeah.
Hi there. So I started out in a church that was really charismatic and evangelical, but there was also a little social justice piece to it. When I was living in rural California, we went to visit a youth center on 6th Street in San Francisco, and I think that that really planted some seeds for me. But I am a person who's very emotional. If you know me, you probably know that I'm passionate, and there's a lot of beautiful things that come with emotion, but then there's also some things that are harder to handle sometimes for others, for myself. And so I think since I became a Christian, my spiritual practice and my spiritual life was really, really robust. But I had this emotion and this passion and these ups and downs and these feelings that I think I was trying to integrate into how I lived out my life before Jesus and with my family. So the Ignatian practice, Tracy spoke about it a little bit earlier, has just been really helpful. I think that it's hard to find affirming spaces for your emotion and strong emotions, emotions you might miss. And so I think for me, it's just been really helpful to be able to restart my day each day and give the emotional experiences that I had that day. My work is very intense. It's very wonderful. I lead a group of people who's trying to work to break the cycle of poverty, mainly with folks who are coming out of incarceration and also with families. And so I think just being able to, like, know that my day is held in God, in the beauty and the pain and the struggle, which are things that I feel each day, has been really helpful. And then also just giving, like, a safe place for those emotions. And I don't want to say, like, minimizing them, but having them be before God and be held by God has been really helpful for me.
Hi, I'm Dana, and I did not grow up in any of these practices. CWOW is the first church I've ever been a member of, and I feel very lucky because I feel like, wow, these five things are pretty interwoven in my life. But I want to share a little bit about this stream over here, which I want to talk about. I was kind of reluctant, like, should I share this? But about the spiritual practice of giving. I think about all of these different things and how we think about those practices should not just be sort of like for that moment, but shape the whole of our lives. And so when I think about the spiritual practice of giving, I feel like, how does the act of giving actually shape the whole of my life? How does it make me think differently about the world, about what I spend money on, about the risks I'm taking, things like that. And so the spiritual act of giving has been a really profound place where I have felt Jesus meet me as I feel like my heart becomes bigger for the world, my brain becomes bigger for the world, as well as taking really significant risks in trusting Jesus. So it's been really profound for me.
Hi, I'm Ron. And As far as, like, I guess the background that I'm from, I'd say that it fits more on the evangelical side. But then I've come to realize over a period of time that you really need to have visceral experiences with God in addition to, you know, knowing what you're supposed to do or not do. And so that I have been, you know, weaving in, the Holy Spirit has been leading me to weave the whole, try and seek all integrated experiences with that. And in particular, I'm realizing that over a period of time in the larger frame, worship has been a really important thing when things are very, very stressful and churning and you're in a spiral and there's too much happening that's not positive. And so I have found that in those moments and trying to just sit before God and not, you know, be in a place of turmoil inside, just even taking songs that you have connected with you and your spirit and connected you with God and just singing, even just two of them, one after the other, and even by yourself, it's great. It's even better if you're with a group of people. But just doing that will bring calm and bring not always like inspiring words from God, but at least calmness so that you can just have a few moments or a half hour or a few hours of peace and then begin to a place where you can start hearing from God again. And then more recently, you know, I think that a lot of my life revolves around relationships and developing relationships and trying to move relationships in a positive direction. And then sometimes there's political dynamics in them, because we don't always have the same agendas, and that can cause huge stress for me. When I see, oh my gosh, this could end really badly for all of us and for organizations, you know? I have found my nighttime, my sleep being invaded by nightmare scenarios, and even like I have pictures in my nightmares of specific people who are doing things that are deliberately unhelpful in real life. And so when those things are happening, and that's not good, to not be able to be waking up early, waking up in the middle of the night. And so I have had to, and this has been really helpful in working, is right before I go to bed, I read a passage of the gospel with Jesus in it. And then I spend a few moments visualizing Jesus with me. And I don't know how to say this, it sounds weird, but take Jesus with me into the sleep and that nighttime. And it has been really effective in stopping, you know, those voices that are not from God. You know, God is not telling me, you are the worst executive recruiter ever, you know, in the history of the planet, you know? And so that has been really helpful for me. And, you know, I hope that that some of these things are helpful for you in getting, you know, the sleep and the peace that you need.
My name is Bora, and on Wednesday, I guess it was, that we had the rolling power outages, and so I was working from home because campus was closed. I was actually working, but in the middle of the day at lunch, I went to walk to Monterey Market. It was a beautiful day, and on the way back, there was Berkeley Horticulture, so I wandered in there, and I was just like looking at all the plants, and it was giving me so much pleasure. I got some cauliflower for Omid, our resident farmer, to plant in our backyard. And then I had this like funny thought. I was like, oh my gosh, like walking through a plant store in the middle of the day is like such an old person thing to do. Like, what have I become? And then I had a secondary thought, which is like, wait, why judge this totally moment of like slowing down and grace? And I thought, it's because our culture is a very youth-oriented culture, and it kind of makes fun of or renders invisible the genuine pleasures of growing older. And I know that, like, Gary has referred to many times, like, oh, you get older and your body's falling apart. And that is, I guess that's true, although I think he's experiencing a sharper decline because he was athletic when he was younger, because he was like, I think he was like sporty and athletic, And as someone who was never athletic, I'm like, it's true, but I actually am, like, can run, I'm whatever. So there are some pleasures, like, there's still, like, yeah. But there are also genuine, I think there are genuine graces in getting older. And one of the things that I've really benefited from Ignatian spirituality, is the idea, they call in Ignatian spirituality, it's called spiritual indifference. And when I first heard that phrase, I was like, that makes no sense. Like, how can you be spiritually indifferent? And I would talk to my spiritual director and I would say, but I still want these things to happen, or I still feel sad about this thing. And she would say, spiritual indifference is not about not having feelings. I'm like, okay, then what is it about exactly? But over time, I've learned it's about, like, where you're attached, right? And what are the things that we're gripping onto because we want them to happen so badly in exactly the way that we want to control. And I think one of the graces that I'm experiencing incrementally of growing older is you realize how little is in your control. I think that is something that Ignatian spirituality really undergirds and also says, like, Jesus is the one who is in control and not us. And being able to sit in that and actually be able to say, this is a Henry Nouwen idea, but like rather than wanting success, which comes about via things that I feel like I need to control, Lord, would you help me be fruitful, which is not something that I can control, but which comes as an act of grace. So a lot through liturgical prayer and through Ignatian spirituality, but honestly, also in growing older in this rich community, I think there are some really, really true ways that the best years, for those of you who are younger, are ahead of you, even physically sometimes.
First Corinthians 12 says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And, verse 6, there are varieties of spiritual practices, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. So, we've just built a little mosaic, and we could go on even longer. Maybe if we were more charismatic, we would, and we'd have a 2-hour service. But, you know, that's not one of our giftings. But what you do with the mosaic is you see all the individual tiles being placed, and then you, like, step back and look. And you see that the mosaic is more than the sum of its parts. And so I think that far from being disparate, all of these different things, all the different ways we come to God, this really adds up to something beautiful in this community. And so even for you as an individual, like, there is a next step for you. Wherever you are in your spiritual practice, there's a specially selected sort of next step of, as all we've been talking about revival, and we've been talking about how it's a process. For all of us, there's a next step in revival. In this church, there's a way of meeting God which fits just right for you. And I hope that this morning has made you feel kind of excited and kind of inspired by the wild and woolly and disparate ways we all meet God, but then the way they all really add up for something and the way we all fit in, not just in a generic sense, but even right now in your life, you fit in. God has a next step for you. And we will continue to pursue God's beautiful acts of beautiful process of revival in your own life as we continue to finish this series. But I'm pretty sure that right now we are all called to worship together right now under the leadership of Derek. So thank you, Derek.
I agree.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. All right. Before you do that, I do want to invite you to a charismatic practice of receiving prayer through prayer ministry, which will start after we're done with our worship set, as soon as you've participated in communion. And special shout outs today to people that may feel like they're in a bit of a spiritual desert or a spiritual sort of drought. if you're in a sort of spiritual drought today, receive prayer, and someone would love to come around you. Also, if you're experiencing a lot of stress from school, we feel like God especially wants to touch you in that. Let's continue in worship.
Amen.